Hi, this is Brian Murray, and you're listening to The Sand Scholar.
Studio 65, not far from the home of the Ottawa Senators. Welcome to Season 3, Episode number 6 of the Sens Call-Ups for Tuesday, November 18th, 2014. I'm Cardinal, and this could be a short show as there are only two games to talk about. But Pan, Canuck, and I will do our best to stretch this out as long as we can for those of you who listen to us during your morning commute. You can reach us via Twitter, you can reach us via Facebook, you can reach us in the online forums at senscallups.com, and most importantly, you can reach us via email at podcast@senscallups.com. Pan, you said you were getting furniture. I don't see any.
No, next Saturday.
Oh, next Saturday. Okay.
Still sleeping on the floor.
It was really nice to be able to leave all our equipment in one place, I have to say.
Yes, and, and we get to keep the setup and everything. It's gonna
yes.
Be,
it's very,
yeah,
that's
going to
be nice.
Very nice.
That's very well worth a $300,000 investment. Donate to the show.
I appreciate it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Was it? I actually went over to my parents' place on Sunday.
That's a long way over now.
Yeah. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to take a nap in the bed. I was going to bring some stuff back here anyways, but...
What are you sleeping on? It's not a bed right now?
No, it's the like a blue foam thing from Costco.
Like inflatable like a, mattress?
No, it's...
Like camping
like
mattress?
A pillow top.
Oh. So, okay. Like a,
so I just brought that with me when I bought the house originally.
Do you have carpeting?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's okay. It's okay. But yeah, I was just happy to be in bed again. So it's Sunday afternoon, taking a nap. About 45 minutes later, all I hear is a doorbell ring. I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to let it go. Rings again, and 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 again.
It wasn't Halloween.
Fine. Go downstairs, it's a neighbor. Oh, hi. I saw your car was in the driveway. How's it going?
My nap was great. Thanks.
Yeah, first time in bed in 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. And that's what I had to deal with.
The worst thing about sleeping on the floor for me is getting up. Because when you're in bed, you can actually lower your feet down to the ground. But when you're actually already on the ground, it's a real
There's a little bit of a head rush with that too.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just, you have to lift all of you up. You don't get, gravity is completely your enemy at this.
This is what this podcast has become.
Yeah. We talk about everything.
Sleeping
to try and
on
stretch
the floor.
It out.
Okay. We got two games to talk about.
All right. So how's your car? No scratches, I hope. I noticed that you sat in your car and waited for me to drive away after we recorded our last week, just so you were you worried I was going to key it or something? I only have one key, right?
Well,
I
haven't to Pan, it's key-proof.
It's a half of the broken key that really just gouges in there.
Oh, I could use the broken one. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. I'm going to keep that one now.
I don't remember. I was probably taking a moment to set up the Bluetooth.
Well, we're going in different directions now, so it's okay. I won't be following you and getting angry with you and keying your car because we go in different directions now. Anyway. All right. That's about as long as we can waste.
So you want to stretch out the show?
No. Let's get it done. I got things to do tonight.
Best send ever. Daniel Alfredson. Discuss. Yeah, that look on the face is this.
Moving on.
All right. Game on!
Hey!
You're a little early on the haze, but no, it works.
I'm just doing it with the sound.
Yeah, that's right. It's fun. It's fun. Do it. Do it now.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Game 16, last Thursday, November 13th. The Senators, this was a bit of a late night game because the Senators were in Edmonton to play the Oilers. And I have the game summary for this one. Anderson was in goal. It was the same lineup as the Canucks game, so the scratches were Condra, Greening, and Wirkosh. The first period was actually a very, very good period. We enjoyed this one, let me remind you. The Sens had a very, very strong start to the game. They had puck possession. Shots were getting through to Scrivens. 3:34, yes. Hoffman scores, 1-0. Senators continue to buzz. 12:51, Chiasson scores. Everybody thought it was a Phillips goal because he shot it, but it was a deflection just in front. At 14:38, Keith Ollie and Chris Neal have a bit of a dust-up.
Yes.
A decisive win for Chris Neal, despite a significant size disadvantage, because Keith Ollie is 6'6" and 225 pounds.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he was that big.
He's big. Yeah, not a good fighter. It kind of reminds me of Hal Gill versus Chara. Not a good fighter. Just over a minute later, at 15:41, McCulloch scores.
What?
Yeah.
3-0. So it's a wrap.
This was a really nice goal, actually.
That's it. That's it in a game, right?
Yeah, I have to give full credit for this one. Zibanejad took the puck at our blue line, sent it to Ryan on the right, who drew the traffic sort of up and down the middle, passed it across to Milan McCulloch in the net, 3-0. It was a very, very pretty play from the three of them. I have to give full credit on that one. 16:17, Edmonton gets a penalty. Purcell, 2 minutes for stripping. Oh, sorry, Purcell.
Whoa, 2 minutes what? For stripping.
2 minutes for tripping Turris. Well, stripping? Okay, maybe. No goal on that one.
And slap shot.
Just near the end of the period, Borowiecki gets high-sticked in the face, and the stick goes up between his visor and his helmet and is stuck there.
So Boro got the holding the stick penalty then?
Probably should have. Probably should have. No penalty called. Like, can there be a more obvious high stick than, hey, your stick is caught in his face mask? Yeah, I didn't put it there. He put it there. Uh-huh.
Okay. We'll need to go upstairs for video replay on that one.
Unreal. Absolutely unreal.
That's where a coach's so challenge great. Flag will be interesting.
Craig Anderson was quite animated on this one. He was peaking. He's like, okay, how much, you know, basically, I was reading his body language. He was just saying, how can you not call that? You know, you can see the stick is still high.
I love it when Anderson gets frustrated. Oh,
bad. So end of the first period, shots on goal, Ottawa 17, Edmonton 7. And faceoffs, Ottawa 10, Edmonton 8.
Well, this one must have been in the bag, right?
You'd think. And then things go a little wonky as far as the officiating goes.
Really? We're going to blame officiating?
Well, for the second period, yeah, I am. Because Zibanejad drew a penalty 45 seconds into the second period because of some good forechecking. Sorry, he drew a penalty. All right, that's right. He drew a penalty.
He
drew a penalty with his forechecking, which didn't amount to anything. And then Ollie elbows Chris Neal in the face.
Yes.
And what happens is Greiba goes after him, and Greiba gets 2, 5, and 10. Ollie gets 5. And no supplemental, there was never discussed as far as supplement.
I think it's because Neal was fine.
Didn't happen.
Which didn't happen.
Oh, okay. So it's okay. So then why are people getting suspended when they hit people in the head, even if they're fine?
What team do they play for, though?
Oh, not Ottawa. Okay. Clearly. There we go. No review, no anything on that on that headshot. Not Ottawa.
Not Ottawa.
Yes. At 5:06, Arcabello gets 2 minutes for slashing Cody Ceci's stick in half. And yes, Ottawa did get a power play out of that. But the problem with this penalty call was there was a ref 4 feet away and there was a ref at center ice.
Center ice guy got it, right?
Center ice was the only one that called it. The guy was 4 feet away, didn't call it.
He's probably farsighted.
Maybe so.
If only he had a camera on his head so he could
verify these. Wouldn't that be good? Yeah. Halfway through the period, Borowiecki gets a 2-minute penalty for high-sticking Arcabello, and then Edmonton scores on a power play. And at the end of the second period, it's Ottawa 23 shots, Edmonton 20. And Edmonton is now leading in faceoffs 22-15. So
Sens typical.
Sens typical second period. Exactly right. Edmonton buzzed and buzzed in the second and the third period, scored at 9:35, scored at 13:45. So 2 goals in 4 minutes and 10 seconds. At the 15-minute mark, Edmonton was now in the lead at 32-29 shots on goal. At the end of the third period, it was 37-29. plateau. It went from 20 to 23.
Yep.
For 23 Ottawa, 20 Edmonton. At the end of the third period, it was 32 Edmonton, 29 Ottawa.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like there's a switch somebody flips in that dressing room.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know who it is it's flipping over there? Craig Anderson. Like, I guarantee you after some of these periods, the coach just walks in and goes, you know what? Andy, you take this one.
Fortunately, actually not fortunately, unfortunately, faceoffs after the third period was Edmonton 34, Ottawa 23.
Do you have the player-by-player on this?
Oops. Yes, I do.
Okay.
I know what it is. They say,
I miss most of this game.
So. Don't make Anderson go get the cutting knife.
Yeah. Don't make him cut chicken. Don't make him cut frozen chicken.
I'll either cut you or myself. I'm not sure.
I'm going to pretend you're frozen chicken. After three periods, Lazar was 3-6, Legwan was 3-9, McCulloch was 0-2, Turris was 11-11, and Zibanejad was 6-6.
Alfie.
Yeah, he was terrible in the faceoff time. Anyway, in the overtime,
it's always 11.
There was some stuff back and forth, but the most important thing was a shot by Mike Hoffman from the high slot that whistled right through Ben Scrivens.
And the pass was from?
I didn't write that down, actually.
Lazar.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was a kid line.
Some great cycling by Erik Karlsson and the kid line right before it, but I didn't write down who got it.
The 4-on-4 kid line.
Apparently the TV 3 stars and the radio and building 3 stars were different because
yeah, happens.
The TV gave Hoffman the 3rd star, even though he had 2 goals in the game.
Including the overtime winner.
Including the overtime winner.
Sportsnet?
Yes, it would have been Sportsnet. The building and radio, 3rd star Anderson, 2nd star Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, 1st star Mike Hoffman. The end.
Whatever.
So there you go. That was a pretty entertaining game. It was just kind of late. It got pretty late.
Mama said there'd be games like that.
She told you there'd be games like these?
Yeah. Ottawa really seems to lack, and it's not just Ottawa. This happens to a lot of teams, so I'm not going to like just harp on them, but I must say I do notice over the last few seasons, and I'm seeing it so far this season a little bit, a lack of killer instinct.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if that's partly age.
It's been 25 years.
Just kind of like you had Edmonton by the throat. It eased up, and it got away from you, and it took a lot. Like you lost momentum. Thank you for the dry scrape. That was the one time I was saying, thank you, dry scrape. I'm not going to be able to say that much longer.
No, we'll talk about that in a bit. Yeah. So, game 17. Ben, you have this one. This was Saturday.
Well, I have some of it. I have the important parts.
I have a couple of quick points once you're done.
Okay, I've got a couple of quick points. That's about it, too. It was good to see Puddle Duck again. Came down for the weekend, so that was nice.
McLaren's.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, that was the other thing. Back to the Oilers game really briefly. I missed most of this because I was out, but I caught a lot of it on the radio on the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I missed. If only Dean and Gord could do what they do on radio on TV.
But they can't.
I know, because they joke.
I know.
They can't. That's the problem. If they can't be that entertaining on TV, because TV has to be dry and professional and everything else, on the radio they're way more fun.
I agree. But yeah. So again, Craig Anderson steals the show.
There was a lot of Sens fans in the arena in Calgary. You heard Go Sens Go chants?
And Edmonton, too.
On the TV?
Yep.
I didn't notice as much on the Edmonton feed. I noticed it for the Calgary feed. I heard Go Sens Go.
Probably RBM, then.
Well, he was there, and I think he said a group of 30?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Impressive?
So.
Impressive.
Impressive.
Most impressive. Sens at Flames, and Anderson regresses to the mean.
Oh, I don't think I'm not. I wouldn't blame that game on Anderson.
No, it's stay in the net.
He showed a couple of weak moments, but
so did
the entire team in front of him.
Yeah, it was not a good game. That's really all I've got. Just Andy stay in the net.
That sums
it up. MacArthur gets one to open it, then they get shelled, and then Bobby Ryan gets one that doesn't matter.
Well, it was 1-1 going into the third period. Bobby Ryan made a very costly turnover.
Yes.
And sent it down the other way. And he didn't cover his man as well. And they put it up 2-1. And that's when you're like, uh-oh. Now, having said that, Bobby Ryan did turn around and get the goal back eventually with a nice little wraparound. But the game got away with them at that point, and Edmonton got by 2.
Yep.
And the real Achilles heel, or if you want to say the backbreaker goal, was we were down by a goal. Sens were down by a goal, 8 minutes to go-ish?
Mm-hmm.
And Anderson, I think, he's guilty of what a lot of Sens players
on that one, but
yeah, guilty of what a lot of other Sens players do and trying to do too much themselves. He went out a little too far of his crease, tried to play the puck up himself, probably frustrated by what's going on, and it just took an odd bounce off the player and right out in front and goal.
Yeah.
Now they're down two and deflated. And
Kia's individually won us about 4 to 5 games this year already.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Just whatever.
Yeah.
Happens. And the other part that people miss in this is that the Flames are 11-6-2.
They're a very good team.
Shockingly.
They are surprisingly good. Now, they've been pulling a bit of a Ottawa Senators in that they've had some very, very good goaltending to get them to where they are. But they are a young team. They're not the Flames of last year and the year before.
With the massive forces of Kerry Ramo and net, that'll really get you going.
Listen to us. If this game was against the Leafs, we would be losing our poop. But because it's against the Flames, we're kind of like, it happens.
Yeah, stuff happens.
East-West, who cares?
A couple of little stat notes from this game, if that's the end of your summary.
Yeah.
I'm going to wind pan up with
so
this
our
one
West,
a little
bit. Our West road trip was 1-1-1, counting the Vancouver game.
Could be worse.
That's not enough for playoffs, but whatever.
It could be worse, so I'm all right with it. I'm all right with it because it could be a hell of a lot worse than that.
Yep.
In that game, I didn't write down who I got all these numbers from because they were popping up on Twitter very, very quickly, but they were all reasonably good sources, like, you know, Chris Stevenson or some of the TSN radio people, that sort of thing. I just didn't note exactly who I got each one of these from. In the Calgary game, the kid line got 11 minutes of ice time. Collect, you know, that's there was their sort of together at least. On the power play, Lazar and Stone combined for 49 seconds between the two of them on the power play. And Lazar had four.
4 seconds?
Four seconds of power play.
He's just popping on.
Yeah, I don't see Lazar and Stone on the power play normally.
Well, that's kind of my point. Stone got 45 seconds of power play time in the game. So between the two of them, 49 seconds.
Because he plays the penalty kill.
Zibanejad and Chiasson.
He doesn't need to.
Zibanejad and Chiasson combined power play time. Take a wild guess.
That one I don't know.
Take a wild guess.
Combined, Zibanejad and Chiasson?
Yeah.
How many penalties were there?
4 minutes.
Higher. No.
8.
Higher.
What?
Whoa.
How many penalties were there?
10 minutes and 40 seconds of ice time on the power play between the two of them.
10 minutes?
10 minutes and 40 seconds.
There were 12 minutes of power play. That's ridiculous.
And Lazar and Stone got 49 seconds.
You can say a lot about David Legault getting 4 minutes, but no. 10 for those guys?
Yeah, that's kind of my point. I actually think I had to pick my jaw up off the front of my shirt. I was just
what happened
staggered.
To
staggered
Turris. I just lost his name. MacArthur
and Ryan.
Like, and Ryan.
Well, Ryan, he's not playing with them on the power play. They're putting Legwand up at the front because they want the left-handed shot. That's why Ryan's not playing with them.
Give it up.
No, Turris wouldn't be with them. Or do they want both Turris and Legwand on?
Yes, because Legwand's a left-hand shot.
Just win the face-off.
Well, no,
how
it's because of the way they're trying to set up. I was actually listening to some analysis on this today.
He's really bouncing out the time. That's all it is.
Well,
is the Zibanejad still playing the point? Which I think is just dumb.
I don't see the point when you can have Hoffman do that or Weirkosh, because Hoffman's used to doing it in junior. Weirkosh
isn't playing. So that's
true. But Hoffman can do it. I mean, there are other people who can. I just don't understand why Zibanejad and Chiasson got 10 minutes and 40 seconds of power play time. I really don't understand that.
I'm with you on that.
That sounds odd.
The kid line needs to play more than everybody else.
It's almost as if, to me, the only justification I can come up with for this is the coach is going, these guys need an opportunity to score and get some confidence, so I'm going to give them a ton of power play time and not too much 5-on-5.
Maybe.
You know what he's doing? It's because he wants four forwards on. It's to rest the defense.
Possibly, but
that's exactly. Well, actually, that was the one thing because Carlson had a massive amount of minutes.
Oh, he's been playing a ridiculous number of minutes, but
damn you, app.
I just thought that was crazy when I was reading it, and that was the only justification I could come up with.
Yeah, I was totally thrown off on that
because he's trying to give the other lines more 5-on-5 time. So, but why not give the kid line a bit of power play time?
It worked in overtime.
Well, it shows that they can play together. They're already scoring, and if it's a power play and we really need a goal. Why aren't they out there?
Yeah, like they
I don't know.
And it's
because they can't take any more minutes away from the Legwan, Neil, Smith line. They're down around 10 minutes, which everyone's complaining, oh, why is Chris Neil out there? Well, they got to play him at some point. But I don't know. I sort of threw my hands up and shook them at that one.
Carlson had 29 minutes, 43 seconds.
Yeah.
Next closest, Cody Ceci at 20 minutes, 13.
I know. Carlson is second or third in the league. In average time on ice. Ryan Suter's
12 minutes
more.
Of power play. But
that's crazy.
Different role, though.
Different role.
It's 12 minutes of power play versus shut down everyone.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
But still.
Are we burning him out?
I'm a little concerned that he's being played too much. I'm not worried about burning him out. I'm worried about playing him too much. I don't think he's going to be physically tired.
Mentally.
I think mentally it will start to wear on him if he's still playing 30 minutes a night.
Well, I can really tell this room's empty here.
Yeah, there's a lot of echo.
Could be worse. All right.
It could be a ghost on the room.
could be.
Could always be worse.
One, episode 15. That's right. Moving on.
Well, you know how to cut down Carlson's time. Score on the freaking power play.
Sorry?
If you score on the power play, he's not playing 12 minutes.
Yeah, because a lot of those minutes, he takes a good minute and a half of a power play.
Yeah.
He's no Ovechkin, though. Take the full two.
Yeah, but he's just staying at the blue line.
Yeah, but Ovechkin doesn't move around much on a power play.
He's either on the point or he's right in front of the blue line to not be offside.
Anyway.
The other guys can get it.
Somebody else get it. I got to get going. So, you know, it's going to come back this way. That's what he's thinking. Some very serious news, actually. It was last Saturday, just before the... It was actually before the...
Calgary game.
Calgary game?
Yep.
Yes, before the Calgary game. Did they play it? Hold on. Did they play it at the intermission or did they play it before the first game? I'm not entirely sure now because I thought it was...
Anyway. It was before the game.
Yeah, it was before the game. There was a brilliant interview by Michael Farber with General Manager Brian Murray. And I'm sure that most of our listeners now know that Brian Murray is in stage 4 of colorectal cancer.
There is no stage 5.
There is no stage 5. And it has spread to his liver and his lungs. And it was a very frank interview. I mean, they followed him around through the cancer treatment center. And he knows that there is no cure for this. He actually said this. There is no cure, but treatment will buy me time. And that's really what he's looking for out of this. So he's also using it as a situation to show other people that they need to get themselves checked, even if they feel fine. He said, but I've been healthy all my life. I never got checked for it because I've always felt healthy, and found out that he probably had cancer for 7 to 10 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But you don't notice it.
Nope.
You just don't. That's the problem. Until it's everywhere and it's, you know, affecting your health really badly. And that can come on very, very quickly. I have to say, I actually knew this during the summer because I go fishing up in the Pontiac, and I was involved in a conversation with, well, somebody who was in the know, but I promised them I wouldn't say anything because they included...
It's very private.
Well, they included me in a conversation without knowing me. I had one of the people who I was with vouch for me saying, no, it's okay. So it's been known for a while, but the fact that he actually came forward with this, I got to give... You know, I can't imagine what he's going through, but using it as an excuse to, or as a reason to show other people what they just absolutely have to do. Yep. And full marks, excuse me, full marks to Coach Paul McLean yesterday.
Mm. Yes.
Coach wasn't at practice yesterday because he was getting a colonoscopy.
Yep. Well, it's creating awareness.
It is. It's a tragic way to have to do it.
Yep.
But it is. And there's been a lot of talk about exactly that. So, I mean... It's bad, but from what I was seeing from the general manager's meetings today, the reports were that he was looking good and sounding good and being very positive about the whole thing, as he was through that report. Like the report from Michael Farber, he sounds a lot stronger than he did
in the summer,
late summer, early fall, when his voice was weak and he looked very, very weak. I mean, he's still doing
chemo. It might have been a severe...
The initial treatment was very, very strong, yeah. But he's looking much better than he was. I mean, he's obviously lost weight, but he's looking...
But I think he's gained some back, too.
Yeah. I think the best tweet of all was one that I copied from Bob McKenzie, which was back on whatever day that was. It was only 4 days ago. Saturday.
Yeah.
And Bob McKenzie said, don't just watch the video. Heed Brian's words and go and get checked out if you haven't already done so. Think about Brian Murray... and Pat Burns.
Yeah.
Pretty poignant words, especially when you consider that Pat Burns was just inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame last night, except thank you, Hockey Hall of Fame, for being complete douchebags and not doing it while he was still alive. Good that you did it. Complete and utter fail that is unforgivable that you waited until he was no longer alive.
A lot of people feeling that way.
Yeah. There's no excuse. As far as I'm concerned, there's absolutely no excuse.
They changed the rules for Chris Pronger to get in.
There are people in there with a lot less credential than Pat Burns. There?
He will be. He was ineligible for some reason. They changed the bylaws.
Is it because he's not freaking retired yet?
Probably.
Something like that.
Yeah. Oh, he'll be in there eventually, I have no doubt. But anyway, so bad news on Brian Murray. A very frank interview with Tim Murray as well.
Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering, I mean, seeing, hearing, reading that interview, I'm wondering whether he knew.
I don't
think he did, because he was gone to Buffalo before it was really discovered.
Yeah. Yes.
Hmm. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah. No, he was gone. And it's not, I don't think that it's, he would say, it's like, I would have stayed to take the job. It's just, I would have stayed to work with my uncle as long as I can.
And support my uncle. Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. So that's some bad news, but the good news is we'll have him around for a while yet. And as long as he keeps doing what he's already doing, which is what he wants to do, and as long as he can, I'm sure the team will allow him to do so.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to, and hopefully that will
hopefully
be for
they can
a while.
Rally around it.
Exactly. Now, I just put down a couple of notes about things we could talk about. I wanted to talk about the kid line first. There was an interview with Grady Wittenberg on Friday on the radio, and he was talking about Mike Hoffman, excuse me, specifically. And he made a really good point that I'd forgotten, and it was something that I had actually thought of and pointed out last year. And that was that there were question marks about him last season, because he was playing really well in bingo, and every time he came up here, he just wasn't producing anything. He was playing, but he wasn't really doing much. And there was a lot of talk about, okay, well, maybe he's just going to be an AHL player and can't go any further. And
that's what we thought.
Well, there were I actually said, but look at who he's playing with and the kind of minutes he's playing with.
Who was he playing with?
He was playing with a rotating fourth line center and Eric Condra playing fourth line minutes. Now he's playing with Mark Stone and Curtis Lazar. Still playing fourth line minutes-ish.
But a lot of talent.
Exactly. And he's being put in a situation to succeed, or a much better position to succeed than he was last year.
So he was getting Zach Smith.
Well, he was getting JGP'd. He was getting Derek Granted. He was getting David Trzynski'd. You know, pick the name you want to use, but it was just really bad for him.
Yeah, it's just like Smith carrying the anchors of Chris Neal and Colin Green.
Yeah, he was just not in a position where he could do as well as he is now. Yeah. And now that he's playing with some quality young talent who mesh well with his style of playing, mm-hmm. and desire, I'm not saying the other guys didn't have it, but especially the style of play that he wants or needs to be in to succeed, he's doing a lot better.
Yep.
And as a result, that whole line is doing a lot better. I must be the only person I think there's probably other people in this room, but I think we're the only ones in the entire Senators fandom who are not worried about the fact that Curtis Lazar hasn't scored yet. There's some angst out there, and I really don't understand why.
You know why? It's
who cares?
Hoffman keeps burying it.
That's it. Hoffman is the Danny Heatley to Jason Spezza kind of thing.
Well, Stone can do it too.
No, but Hoffman's got 7 goals, 1 assist.
And Curtis Lazar has 5 assists, I think it is?
He's got a lot more than that, I think.
About 5 assists.
It's working pretty well, so why mess with a good thing?
Yeah.
I saw one person say, oh, well, they should switch Zibanejad and Lazar around to give McCulloch and Chiasson a better center to play with.
I wouldn't mind seeing it, but you don't want to mess up a good system.
I don't want to mess with the first and fourth lines.
Yeah, if you're getting creamed, swap it up.
If you're getting creamed...
Zibanejad needs the fire under his pants.
Then move Zibanejad to the wing and put Smith there.
I agree.
Because that way you're only playing with 2 lines. You're not messing with 4.
Yeah.
Or take Chiasson or put, we got some spare parts too, so substitute somebody in and out if you need to. Hell, you can even sit Zibanejad and then move Smith up and bring in Condra or bring in Greening.
But send a message to him because this is a joke.
I'm not impressed. No. To be honest, I'm not impressed. Yeah.
I'm not either.
So he's looking like a Mike Fisher, slightly less physical. That kind of production.
And without the drive.
Oh, that's hard to measure.
He doesn't. Well, he's not as physical. Okay, so you said not as physical. He's not as. He just doesn't seem to be playing as hard. He doesn't go for the puck as hard. He doesn't dig for the puck as hard. He doesn't check as hard.
He looks like he doesn't care.
He's sound defensively. I mean, he played very well against the top line in Detroit.
He's
I'll give
putting
him that.
Up points now. And he is in a big place.
It's not the level that it should be.
If the fourth line is still outscoring the second line, there's a problem with that.
Who were the two people we said at the beginning of the season?
He's the one going to suffer with Spezza gone. Yeah.
The two people at the beginning of the season are going to have the laser focus on, excluding Lazar, was Zibanejad and Hoffman, wasn't it?
Cowan. Benji and Turris.
Oh, Cowan and Zibanejad. Oh, sorry. And Turris. Yeah. Never mind.
Well, I think there are a lot of people who
first
have
first try.
That's all right. I think everybody does.
Colin Greening.
Colin Greening.
How does he, year over year, with the coach, go from 16 minutes to zero?
Had a bad camp and hasn't had the... Because I think part of the problem that he hasn't been able to play more...
It's because the other guys are better.
They've been playing well enough to not come out. I don't know whether they're playing better, but they're playing better than the limited time he's had. So they're not coming out.
No one's royally screwing up.
Pretty much. Not so well. I might argue about Zibanejad, but anyway.
You said he's sound defensively.
Yes, so
he's not costing the team. He's not benefiting the team. So he's neutral.
Fair enough. I could go with that. Yes. So I think he's just a victim of numbers more than anything at the moment. Same as Patrick Wierkosz. Patrick Wierkosz hasn't played badly.
Yeah.
But we have seven, soon possibly to be eight defensemen. So what do you do? Mm-hmm. Until somebody else gets hurt. And I mean, we haven't had, knock on wood, we really haven't had much of an injury bug so far this year, which isn't bad.
Considering missing our number two defenseman for 2 months. But
we had other... People who
we had other people
there,
could
who have played in there reasonably well the first few games notwithstanding.
Yes.
So I mean, other than that, we haven't really had an injury bug to have Kondra and Greening come in at the in the forwards.
Mm-hmm.
No one's got hurt so far.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. I'm not looking for it, but they're a victim of, I don't want to say success, but of lack of injury. So at least for the moment, there's not much to do with them. And a lot of people are, possibly, but. I think at the
they've
moment
got enough. Just go for the wins, get the experience with the guys you have.
There, I don't really see the point of playing him to showcase him. I know there's not a lot of interest in him
agreed.
Right now.
Agreed.
It's a bit of
Greening. I'm assuming you're talking about.
Yeah, there's not. I don't think there's much interest in him because there's not much interest in him. It has mm-hmm. nothing to do with him playing or not. There just hasn't been.
So Colin Greening for Chris Stewart, straight up.
Don't want Chris Stewart.
Come on.
Because where would you put Chris Stewart? Oh, in the place where Colin Greening is right now.
Yeah,
so it costs us more with only one less year of contract. No. That's no use for me. I'd be willing to take somebody on at a higher contract if they were an expiring contract. Basically do what Montreal did when they traded Moen, who has more term, for Gonchar. More money, less term, and doing very, very well in teaching their young defensemen.
Just trying to dump it.
But
we'll see.
We'll see. And I mean, the same with...
You've got some points coming up with some of the other teams that are struggling with injury and illness. It's like, just put them on waivers and hope to God that someone takes them.
Maybe. I mean, if they can't trade them, maybe somebody would take them on waivers. I don't know.
Just get rid of the contract.
If somebody would, I don't think that they would necessarily be adverse to that. But
yeah. And actually, going back, and we talked about this last week, because you're saying, it's like, well, why would you bother putting Greening on waivers? And then pay him that money to play in the AHL?
Well, at least he's playing. I wouldn't mind that.
You're paying that. Yeah, exactly. I think you kind of turned on that. But you're paying him to not play.
Unfortunately, at the moment, yeah. No, I agree. I wouldn't mind seeing him playing in Binghamton because, quite frankly, Binghamton could use him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I get to Binghamton, a couple of points on that one, but a couple of more things about Ottawa before we go.
And that could be career or good for his career, too, because he can be a mentor, coaching, and all of that.
Jumpstart is useful.
Very brilliant guy, so...
Very listening, like he listens, he works, you know, it's just, it's
but
just
he's
not working
he's
out.
Ivy school too, right?
Yeah, so. He's a very intelligent guy.
Yes.
At the end of last year, there was a lot of gnashing of teeth. That's a great word, isn't it? Gnashing. You know what that word means? I love it. About
he plays for the Rangers now.
No, he doesn't spell it with a G. So did I say ganashing? No, that's a chocolate with...
Oh, Simon Ganache.
That's a chocolate with chocolate filling of cream and chocolate. So no, it's not ganashing. About Alex Hemsky leaving.
I was not.
Yeah, and how's he doing now?
He has the same number of points as Eric Greiba.
Except Greiba plays a lot more than he does.
Two assists.
Oh, he got a second one. Good for him.
He's not playing with Spezza regularly.
No, he hasn't scratched too.
No, yeah. $4 million a year. So if people are whinging and moaning about Colin Greening being a healthy scratch, well, Hemsky's worth more than he and Kondra combined.
I still like Hemsky.
Oops.
I still like Hemsky.
Not doing well. Not doing well at all.
Well, whatever. Alex Semin got benched the other day. $7 million a year.
And then Carolina started winning.
Yeah.
Oops. There's an untradeable contract because Semin's got another 4 years left.
Oh, they've committed to him.
At $7 million a year.
I don't know why they've paid him that much.
I don't get it either. I was shaking my head about it at the time. But
was it even Rutherford that signed that one? It must have
been. Yeah, it was.
Must have been.
It was. Robin Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
He used to play more.
Bad schedule.
It's a weird schedule. Well, it's
he'll get Saturday.
There are some back-to-backs coming up, though, because we have two back-to-backs in the next week.
I would have given one of the Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary. Just one.
Why? Well, you got 4 days off.
He got one out there, didn't he?
Nope.
Nope.
Oh.
All Anderson. Oh. They were doing pretty well doing... I'm not going to say hey, they have to
got,
do one
he got
on
just
off,
absolutely demolished against Toronto.
He did. And against Boston.
Well, I don't know about that.
And then the other thing is, Edmonton, do you want to try to take the guaranteed 2 points? Which are really guaranteed.
He didn't get demolished against Toronto.
Yeah, he got demolished.
Against he had didn't two play stupid very well. Goals going.
Well, he looked like he was struggling to me.
Everybody in the stadium around me was saying, time to pull Leonard. It was like 4-2 or something like that at that point. And then immediately he makes this amazing stick save along the ice.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
I thought I wasn't watching the whole game. I only watched bits of it on a TV while I was cooking up at a cottage. But when the moments that I was watching it,
he was playing fine. It was just two stupid goals that went in.
Well, I wasn't talking about the goals that went in. He just to me like his rebounds were all over the place, and he looked like he was struggling to get them, not just to suppress them, but even to get them go where he wanted them to. They just seemed very, very random.
He's still playing deep at his net. That's what I noticed.
Maybe that's why. I don't know. It just he didn't look comfortable. And I mean, compared to the usual Robin Leonard composed, I've got this, you know, I'm going to go out and get this. He didn't seem to, his body language just didn't look right.
Almost
I don't know
like, you know, he didn't get like a good night's sleep. Like maybe something was waking him up every few hours.
Yeah. Maybe. Is he not sleeping in the garage yet? That's the problem.
You know, like a rattling noise and a crying.
Maybe so.
Did your kids noise? Cry like that? Because it'd be terrifying.
Yeah, they sounded like a small T-Rex. That's not good.
No, and well, granted, we're looking at I'm looking at the schedule now. I think he's got Saturday. Well, Thursday we're playing Nashville.
So. Yeah. Could be worse.
Yeah. And then we've got the back-to-back with Detroit and St. Louis.
Colonel, so I expect you say that just about in any life situation.
What,
you
know, could be worse? Yeah. I say that a lot.
It's like you've lost a leg, you've been shot in the shoulder, like, well, could be worse.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I honestly do say, though, could be worse. I do say it quite a bit, mostly because it's one of the few ways I can cheer myself up at some days. Well, that shows you how my days go at times. But moving on. All right, so maybe I'm overreacting to Leonard struggling. I do hope he gets some time in net sometime soon because there are two back-to-backs, not this coming weekend, but the week after and the week after that. There are several because there's Monday, Tuesday, and then Friday, Saturday. So hopefully he'll get in some games there and things will look better. Quickly, moving to Binghamton and prospects, a couple of interesting notes. Binghamton is 5-8-2. So they're in last place in their division, but they're only 1 point back of third. So
could be worse.
Could be worse. It's not terrible yet. When you stop, they are struggling to score. That's their biggest problem. And when you look at who they're missing from last year.
Colin Greening?
Well, no, but who are they missing from last year?
Oh, it's DaCosta.
And?
Hoffman?
And?
Stone?
Yeah. All three of them.
Yeah.
DaCosta was one of the top scorers in the AHL last year. And the other two did very well as well. So that's a lot of firepower to suddenly be missing.
Yes.
So they are struggling. And some of the other players, like Pumple, has not had a good start to the season.
No.
And that's been remarked on by a couple of people. But
thank God for Buddy Robinson.
Buddy Robinson has been doing okay. Not great.
I like Buddy Robinson.
Not great. But he's still young.
How old is he?
25. He's young in terms of being a professional. He only just came out of university a year ago. He's only played 1 year in Binghamton. Yeah, so it takes time. The defense corps look quite good, though, when you stop and look at it. Team defense has been bad. The blue line corps has been good. Therein lies one of the biggest problems. But they are starting to win at least more than they had been. They're struggling at home. They're doing better on the road. But going back to the interview with Grady last Friday, he was talking about some of the players that are there and what they can do. He was talking about Alex Guptill. He's a He's a grinder. He's not a scorer. He's a third, fourth line kind of guy, but he's doing okay. Chris Weidman.
We could use a few more of those kind of guys.
Hey, you never know. Never know. Chris Weidman reminds him a bit of Andre Benoit. He's not huge, but he's smart. He's very, very smart with the way he plays. And he and Clayson are skulking up a lot of minutes. And they're not playing together. So it's usually one or the other of them is almost always on the ice.
Good.
Which he confirmed that Pageau is just tearing it up down there.
Pageau was tearing it up, as usual.
How's his plus minus? Do you have it?
I don't have it off the top of my head. I can look it up in a minute.
He's pretty good for two-way anyways.
The team is doing badly. Clayson's minus seven. Weidman's only minus one. So they're struggling, but they're doing okay. We'll have to see how it goes. There was an interview yesterday with Pierre Dorion after the practice.
Yeah.
And because it is Pierre Dorion who's the manager of Binghamton, not Randy Lee, I think.
I thought it was Lee.
Maybe it's Lee. But he was talking about some of the folks down in Binghamton as well as the players up in
Ottawa. That's what I heard. I heard Pierre.
He was talking. There were people always. Mark Mathot took a practice with the team yesterday.
Okay, so he did go down there.
No.
No, in Ottawa.
With Ottawa.
With Ottawa. Okay. Yeah. But the reporters were asking, you know, are you going to send him down to Binghamton? When is he going to be playing in Ottawa? Blah, blah, blah. And he said, patience. When he's ready to play, we'll know.
When we figure out what to do with that roster spot, we'll know.
When he's ready to play and the coaches feel he's ready to play, that's when we'll make a decision on that. But at the moment, that moment isn't here yet.
You can picture after a practice,
it's a roster spot.
The coach just gives him a pair of crutches. Hey, Mark, can you just walk out to your car with these crutches? That's all. Just walk out.
This has to be the roster spot.
But he can go down to Binghamton for conditioning.
Yeah.
For three games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. How many people are going to try to fight him down there to make their way back up?
They can try and fight him. He doesn't have to fight with them.
No, I know. But they're going to hit him and all of that too. So.
Yes, and he'll hip check them. Because he's not a small boy.
No.
He can take care of himself.
I think that's a risk on it, too.
Dorian's comment on the kid line was Hoffman's looking good. Lazar looks way better than someone who's only played 15 games. And Mark Stone has one of the best sticks around at the moment. And the players he really likes in Binghamton, Andrew Hammond. Andrew Hammond has been playing very well.
I didn't see
well.
That when I saw the two games in Newfoundland. But
well, hey. They were struggling when they're starting to play better. But he was saying that he quite liked Andrew Hammond. JGP, obviously still impressing everybody. Jerzynski, Weidman, and Clayson, and Mullen. So a lot of defense there. Dorian and Lee are going to Europe next week, I think it is, to go and see Hogberg.
Yay!
Is that a movie?
As well as Wickstrand and England. So, and Dorian says Hogberg is one of the best. Hogberg. I thought that was the goalie.
Yeah, Leonard's twin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he was confusing Hogberg and Wickstrand then. That makes more sense. Because he said Hogberg is one of the best defensemen not already playing the NHL. I'm like, that's Mikael Wickstrand that you've said that about before. Yeah. Not Hogberg. He's a goalie.
Maybe you better go to Europe to figure out who's who.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, exactly right. Quickly, from prospects, Nicholas Paul and Ben Harper, who are both prospects, played in the Subway Super Series game, the Ontario Hockey League versus the Russians.
Why didn't I watch that then?
Well, there's one on tonight. As soon as we finish, you can go and watch. They're in Rimouski? No.
But that'll be the queue, though.
They're playing in the queue now, yeah.
Yeah, these guys won't be playing. I just wanted to see.
Francis Pedal will be playing. Francis Pedal was a seventh round pick last year.
I don't need to worry about that.
Randy Lee said he's a lot like Jean-Gabriel Pageau.
Great, so I really don't need to worry about that.
Except he's 6 feet tall. He plays like JGP.
Whoa.
But so he plays really small?
He plays unafraid.
Hard and fast, but he's not tiny.
He plays hard. Yeah, he's not big. He's tall, but he's not big yet because he's 6 feet tall, but only 160 to 165
teenager.
Pounds. Yeah. My build, in other words. And in the Ontario series, Russia 1-1 and Ontario and OHL 1-1. Nicholas Paul was playing and Ben Harper was playing. Randy Lee said of Nicholas Paul, he's the type of player we want in our organization. He's a big body who will go to the net, plays right, and is hard on the puck. He's 6'3", 220, and he's 19. That was you.
You're talking to Siri over there?
Ben Harper, who just signed an entry-level contract last week.
Yay.
He's according to Scott Walker, who's his coach in Guelph, as well as an assistant with the World Juniors, said he's grasped his role as a stay-at-home defenseman and understands that less is more. Unfortunately, he's now suspended for 3 games for a headshot. Yeah, headshot during this Super Series, and he's now suspended 3 games. So there you go. So there is game one tonight.
You really don't want to do that against the Russians. I'm telling you that right now.
He threw a headshot against the Russians.
He's going to disappear.
No, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. Anything else you want to talk about the Senators? We got league stuff to talk about. You want to talk about the dry scrape. You already mentioned it earlier. So,
well, I saw on Twitter today that I guess the Board of Governor meetings are happening, and this topic came up. I meant to look online and see if there what other topics have come up to see. Can't but say. One thing that seems to be abundantly clear is dry scrape is going to be gone as early as this weekend.
Yep. They want it gone by this Saturday.
And I must say, good riddance.
I got to agree.
It really sucks the momentum out of an overtime situation.
Yeah. And the crowd. Yeah.
And it takes so long. Like, it does not take that much shorter for them to not do a wet flood. I don't know why they do it. So I guess what they're going to do is just do the TV timeout shovel scrapes.
Yes. But the whole thing, not just blue line in, they're going to do the whole ice.
Sure.
Yeah. So it'll take 3 minutes rather than
8 10 or 12. 10. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be much, much faster.
Do we get ice girls in?
Some arenas will, some arenas won't. In Ottawa, you get the big, giant head, oversized prime ministers.
I laughed. That game that we were at with Sylvie, I laughed watching.
It's completely stupid and silly, but it's what
silly.
You need.
Yeah, it's silly, but it's also so very entertaining. Big. They are huge. They're as tall as the glass.
Yeah. It's like when you see Sparty next to them, and they're still like 2-3 feet taller.
I was like, ooh, okay. That's a lot of old.
But I think it's staged.
Could it be? Could it be just for entertainment?
It is.
I thought they're the real prime ministers.
It's the world wrestling.
You know, politicians in their heads.
Yes. Touche.
Yeah.
So looking forward to no more dry scrape. Now all they have to do is fix overtime. They fix the dry scrape. That's good. Now fix overtime.
They're going to do that next year.
The way the AHL is doing it. That would be very nice.
I think people like it.
Well, actually that topic is coming up because I think I was reading James Myrtle tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned something along the lines of, you know, the sad reality it is that 10 minutes of overtime would eliminate more shootouts than the current format with the dry scrape and the 5 minutes of overtime and then another scrape or shootout.
Working on it.
I really just think it's like, how's it going to impact TV time?
Well, the dry scrape alone is the biggest impact to TV time, not even having overtime.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say 10 minutes of overtime as opposed to 5 minutes of overtime in a shootout. That's got to come out pretty equal.
Yeah, that's when you.
It's got to be pretty quick.
Pretty close.
Because that overtime
that's
always flows.
That's when you have to do both.
Exactly. Right. Fewer whistles, so hopefully. Hockey Hall of Fame inductees.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Forsberg, Rob Blake, Dominic Hasek, Mike Modano, Bill McCreary, and Pat Burns. Yeah. I'm okay with all of them.
Bill McCreary.
I knew he was going to get in anyway.
Wasn't that the one that Russell was just complaining about the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Among many. He's
the one that put his whistle away.
At random times.
Like, for example, the Stanley Cup Finals that the Senators got to, and the Ducks were able to commit murder on the ice. And
that's him. He's still a supervisory official, because was it during the Montreal series in the playoffs last year or 2 years ago where he was up in the booth? Doing all the video review stuff.
I'm not surprised at that at all.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I'm fine with everybody else, but again, I have to voice my utter disdain for the Hall of Fame to not induct Pat Burns while he was still alive.
Yeah.
No excuse. It's a black mark. I don't know why they didn't think harder.
Why they didn't think. Simple. Why they didn't think.
I don't know. Obviously they thought about it and made the decision to stick with the formula, but...
Hard to say.
Yeah, and I remember I read some type of post about, I think it was the, does Alfredson make it into the Hall of Fame? And they're just putting a list of players. It's like, Theo Fleury. It's like, oh, no. No.
I don't think
the NHL will never put Theo Fleury in.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Too much. Too many red marks on his.
Very controversial, and he's been outspoken against the league, so.
Okay.
And other issues in his private life make him less than an exemplary citizen, which...
Yes.
Baseball has already proven that that's enough to let you not be in the Hall of Fame, even if you really do deserve it.
Yeah. NFL would love you.
The National Felons League?
Well, they're in the news again today with Peterson.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see whether they make that one hold up. We'll have to see about that. Other NHL head office news. There's been a lot of talk about Vegas. Put your phone down.
Just do that.
I resisted the first three times I thought of saying
fine.
That.
This isn't a very entertaining episode.
A lot of people are making a note of the fact that Gary Bettman actually acknowledged an expansion question and just said, no, that's, you know, it's years out. Normally he just dismisses a question.
Well, it may be years out because the arena in Vegas is still under construction and won't be ready until 2017, 2018. So
2 years is years.
That's years, but only barely so.
Yes, and he's got a bid out for the owners.
Can they support it? We talked about this a little bit before, but do you think Vegas could support a team?
That's the main thing.
It's a high...
You will get the corporate sales because the hotels will buy tickets.
To give away to their patrons. To the casinos away. Too, yeah.
So it's, you're not going to have a home home crowd.
That's right. It'll be, yeah. Home crowd might suffer some. Like, there it's still will a big city, be
none.
But is it a big city that the likes hockey?
The income is not high.
There'll be crowds, but there's not going to be a lot of home fans. Yeah, I would put it that way. It'll be whoever's visiting. Or, I mean, quite frankly, I don't go to Vegas, but if I was to go to Vegas and my hotel was to say, here, would you like two tickets to go and see LA Rangers or LA's in town playing Vegas? I'm like, okay. Or yeah. The Rangers are in town. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd go.
Absolutely.
Free hockey tickets? Of course I'd go.
Yeah. I would probably schedule it for around when the Sens are going in.
Well, possibly.
I don't get enough Sens.
You don't see enough of them at home. You got to see them on the road.
If I'm going to Phoenix, Dallas, and Colorado. So.
But, I mean, I can see that happening.
What would you call that team?
The Las Vegas...
Thunder.
Slot machines?
Thunder?
Slots?
The slots.
And you get Radic Boss to be the coach?
Blackjacks? Crabs? Gamblers? Oh, there is a Gamblers. That's in the... ECHL, I think it is. There's a team called the Gamblers.
They're going to try to avoid it. What does Thomas Vanek do when he goes there? Healthy scratch?
Huh?
Too soon?
Thomas Vanek do
that when went he over goes, my head, sorry.
He's got this gambling problem.
Oh, I was going to say, that was a 747. I didn't catch that one. I don't know if he has a gambling problem. His paychecks have been associated with gambling debts.
He admitted that he
had they're his gambles. Okay, yeah. I thought, didn't know whether that had come out or not. The other question that was put to Gary Bettman was, Florida's averaging 9,072 per game.
No, they're not.
Well, that's if that's the number of tickets they're selling. That's the capacity of the Civic Center.
Wow.
9,300.
Okay. So according to some people on Twitter, what they should do is drop the seating to 9,000. Because that will create a demand somehow. Because that's what they want to do, and that's what some people are on Twitter and saying that we'll make it work in Ottawa.
They were curtaining. They were talking of curtaining off parts of the arena in Sunrise to make the arena smaller.
They have to.
Yeah. Well, there is.
And even at that, it'll just fix. It'll reduce your maintenance costs.
Well, you don't have to tidy up there as much, but it also means that nobody's sitting in the top deck, so everybody has to be in the lower seats.
And it's a beautiful stadium.
Yeah. Nice arena.
But. Just a dump of a city.
Wow. Yeah.
And the employment level is still not good. And the economy is terrible.
Outlet shopping there.
Yeah.
But you mean kind of like at the Canadian Tire Center?
Yeah, you no longer have to go. Oh, yeah. Where is it? A little trade in there, too.
Oh, that
there
was
is no content.
That
this
was
week.
Bad. That was terrible. Anyway,
you're setting me up for that too. You're like,
I was trying to give you the. Didn't quite work. What? Sorry.
What?
An article that came out yesterday about an interview with Gary Bettman, and there were a couple of. I like reading quotes because it's really interesting when a lawyer talks to see what he's not saying. Gary Bettman is a lawyer, so what is he not saying? Now, what is he not saying in this particular sentence? The NHL is not actively pursuing ads on jerseys because we believe we have the best sweaters in sports.
We're not actively pursuing.
We are not actively pursuing.
Please come to us with an idea.
Somebody else is actively pursuing and we're listening.
The Nabisco Predators.
Maybe. Well, no, you don't have to change the name of the team. You just change the logo on the front of it.
The Predators.
Nabisco. I mean, Man U is still Man U. They just happen to have a different logo on the front. Or any other team in the EPL, for that matter. I read that, I'm like, okay.
Sugar Crisp could be on the Boston sweaters. Can't get enough of that Sugar Crisp.
Just wait for the day the TD will be on the Sens sweaters.
Who will be on?
What?
TD Canada Trust.
Oh. Why them?
Like, Toronto!
Oh, yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Except they only call themselves TD Canada Trust.
So the Maple Leafs will have the big BMO on the front for Bank of Montreal.
Yeah, Montreal. Montreal has TD.
Montreal has TD.
BMO Field in Toronto.
I never stopped to think about that. BMO Field in Toronto. That's actually funny. I never considered that. Well played.
Bank of Montreal.
Someone will have Toucan Sam on their front. I don't know. I'm trying to think who that would be.
Well, I was coming up with, what about the
Thrashers?
What about the frog from Apple Jacks? Is that going to be
Minnesota Wild?
Montreal?
That's a good one.
Anyway, I just had to throw that out there.
And Canuck makes a mark for editing.
I had to put that out there. I don't even know if they even sell Apple Jacks anymore, but I just came to mind.
That's an American thing.
Is it? Yep. You used to be able to get them up here.
Really?
Oh, yeah. At one point.
You can get them in some places.
They were cinnamon toasty Apple Jacks. They're good. Anyway.
My sister mailed me 2 boxes for Christmas.
Apple Jacks?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you used
$40 in shipping for 2 boxes.
You used to be able to get my favorite breakfast cereal when I used to go to the States growing up was a cereal called Cookie Crisp. Which they had briefly at Costco about 3 years ago, and then they don't carry it anymore. So I bought 5 boxes at the time and ate it for about 6 months. It's great.
Yeah, I bought a box of Cocoa.
So listeners, send us your funny sponsorship ideas.
Absolutely. Send us an email to podcast@sendscallups.com for funny sponsorship ideas for different teams around the NHL. They can't be any more offside than my comment about Apple Jacks with Montreal Canadiens. Moving on. Changes to the World Cup are being
Trader proposed. Joe's on front of the San Jose Sharks.
I don't get that one.
Oh, Joe Thornton.
Anyway, changes to the World Cup. They're looking at doing 8 teams and with 6 teams that were from countries and then 2 all-star teams made up of, they're not sure what. 1 team of all-stars would be from the other European countries, Slovakia, Switzerland, Latvia, Germany, Slovenia, etc. The other all-star team, they're not sure where they're going to get it from. Possibly young stars or something like that. But how would you get young stars away from the other teams like Canada, US, Sweden? They're going to want their young stars on their team. So
they'll be your entry-level guys.
Or who wouldn't make their national teams, but they want to play them anyways. So we'll see. It's going to be in Toronto in 2016.
Is it North America or Canada, U.S.? Sorry?
Canada, U.S., Sweden, okay. Finland, Russia, and the Czech Republic are the 6 nations teams. And then an all-star team and then another all-star team.
Is this NHL only?
It's being debated between the NHL and the NHLPA, so I don't know whether it would have international players in it as well. It's a good question because it's not during the NHL season.
I heard what owners really love about this. It's not hockey-related revenue. So it's all revenue for the owners.
Really?
That can't be.
That was on the radio.
That can't be. You got to pay these guys.
I thought it was still going to be considered as 50-50.
Oh, well, I don't know. This is what I heard on the radio today.
No, you know what? Because your contract also states for any other events that the league does, like you don't get paid for the All-Star game.
Well, it's not included as part of your salary, no.
So they might just get scale.
Don't know.
Like playoff games.
Don't know. I can't imagine.
But what's your incentive to play that?
I was going to say, if the NHLPA is being told you're not getting any revenue out of this, what's their incentive to say, okay, let's do it?
Pan, why is your table like Jenga?
Just leave it alone.
It's like I can pull out.
That's to put a leaf on. Jeez, relax.
Easy now.
You take a block from the bottom and the studio falls down.
Let's not do that till we're finished recording
this. This is your equipment.
Hey, it's my laptop. If you're going to take a block out, you can tell me first. I like this laptop. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but it'll be interesting. Like,
if it's not true international, just forget it. I just want the Olympics.
I don't see the point if it's not real.
Yep.
It's a bit of a joke. I mean, if you're going to make
cash cow.
If you're going to make it like the old World Cup, great. If you're going to screw with the formula and make it daft,
like it's
don't bother. Don't bother.
This is in September.
Go into preseason.
So how many guys you're going to get? 2 or 3 guys, top guys hurt.
Probably.
For what?
No good purpose. That's for sure. So we'll see where that goes. Moving to other teams around the league. some interesting news around the league. Anaheim. This is my favorite news from around the league.
Heatley?
How many games without looking it up, how many games has Danny Heatley played in so far?
Negative 2? 8.
He's played in 4. Teams played? 19.
So the reason is why he got hurt, right?
They have significant players hurt or they're sick.
And he still only played 4 games.
They've got like 3 guys with the bubonic plague.
Yeah, they got the mumps issue. They got, but he's only played 4 games so far. And he's a -2.
Why?
And 0 points.
He was the answer.
He was, apparently. For $1 million. Not so much. Maybe he'll go and play in Europe or somewhere like that after this year. I don't know.
I saw somebody do a funny tweet. It was actually like media related, something about him being pointless in his last few games. Yeah, had a perfect double meeting there.
Yep, he's pointless. I'll give you that.
I still well loved Russell's on when he signed with Anaheim. I think it was Bob McKenzie wrote, it's like, Heatley's a duck. And Russell just replied back with,
autocorrect.
You misspelled it.
Très fort. That's a Russellism. Well played. Well played, sir. Columbus Blue Jackets. Nathan Horton's career is in jeopardy. Very seriously in jeopardy.
Yeah.
He signed the contract 2 seasons ago. He played 36 games last year. Hasn't played this year. And apparently, in an interview, he said, I can't actually stand up straight like a normal person.
He has to get surgery or like...
He's suffering from degeneration in the entire lumbar region of his spine. And if to get it fixed, you basically have to fuse it. If you fuse it, his career's over.
Just yeah.
Call it a career. This is your life. You got a cup.
That's right. Easy for us to make that choice.
Yeah.
It seems like the obvious choice, but well, I'm sure for him it's not.
Would you like to do nothing and still get $4 million a year for the next 3 years?
Of course, but...
the other alternative is he's still doing nothing without getting the surgery. And he's living in constant pain. He can't even stand up straight.
Yeah, that's what... Get it taken care of to the best that you can.
Yeah. It's nasty. I genuinely feel sorry for him because I've never been in a situation like that. But it's like, okay, this is going to affect the rest of my life. Whichever decision I make, yay or nay, it affects the rest of my life significantly.
Pick the no pain or less pain option.
I would, because there's nothing worse than living in constant pain. Because that, if you do, that's all you do. You don't do anything else but live in constant pain. So get it done. Tyler Toffoli, former Ottawa 67, now with the Los Angeles Kings, has 4 shorthanded goals so far this season. That's more than any team in the league other than the Kings.
The Kings are good.
They are. 4 shorthanded goals already this season. I remember watching him play with, he played 1 season, I think it was, only with Logan Couture. That was fun to watch. and Jamie McGinn. That was a fun line to watch. Minnesota. They activated Josh Harding from injured reserve.
Yes.
And then put him on waivers.
Yep.
And then he cleared them. So he's now down in the AHL. So I don't know whether that's permanent or not, but I mean, they've got to give him some playing time and get him down there because no one's going to touch him until he can actually be seen that he can play.
Yes.
But good.
And Minnesota's goaltending right now is also phenomenal.
Exactly. So
ignoring his health, they're doing the business move.
Yep. It makes sense. It does.
And you know what? It's better than getting bought out because you can still get treatment from the team.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think they would do that. They're a pretty stand-up organization, I don't think they would do that. Anything else you want to talk about around the league? I'm running out of topics, to be completely honest.
No.
Okay. How long do we have up to now?
I don't know. I started my phone, my timer.
Hour-ish.
Really?
There's one email to read. You're up for reading it?
So that'll take a good 20, 30 minutes.
Okay. Well, I can sit back and finish my Big Rig Gold then. Outstanding.
Sense Columns brought to you by Big Rig Gold.
This week.
Pointing you to success. So this email is from Vinny Sens. Hey guys, at Vinny Sens here, aka the heat is on from the old Sportsnet forum days. Yeah, I think that's an outdated handle. The heat is on?
Unless he's coming in hot.
Yeah. Sportsnet forums, that really is a long time ago. So I've been a long time listener of The Underground, probably dating back to the very first episode. I was obviously upset when the show ended, but was extremely pleased to see the co-ops take their place and continue on. I can say I have yet to miss an episode, and it's about damn time I emailed the show! I have a crappy commute to work, basically Barhaven to Orleans every day.
For those people who don't live in the National Capital Region, that's the southwest corner of the city to the far eastern corner of the city.
Yeah, so it's kind of ironic when he's listening to us complain about traffic while he's in traffic.
Well, I got to do a little bit of it.
By the time I get to my destination, I'm ready to pull out all my hair, what's left of it anyway, so I understand. Thanks to the constant stop and go and never-ending construction that plagues our city. You guys ease that pain.
Oh. We're Tylenol? Hmm. Or scotch.
special thank you to Dan.
Easy now.
So I did that one without any sound. A special thank you to Pan for the Kyle Chris bobblehead. Not a problem, Betty. Not only did he offer it for free, he took time out of his busy day to drive to my work and drop it off. I mean, who does that these days? A guy that just bought a house and has been putting in a solid 20 to 25 hours a week in his full-time job in the last month? Yeah, me. Don't tell my boss. It's great to see if fellow Sens fans show their camaraderie. RSU's really good at that, actually. I've sent a small donation. Thank you very much. As much as I can at this time during my wife being on mat leave. So congratulations to that as well. Well, the next generation of Sens fans. This
mm-hmm.
Looking forward to the next episode. And Leafs suck! Go Sens, go. At Vinny Sens.
Thank you, sir. Always nice to have a little compliment like that, as well as the donation. Those are always very welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Vinny.
I didn't screw up that reading. Huh?
No, well done. You see, I warned you about it in advance, so you were calm, cool, and collected. Got through it, no problem. Well done. Also, a thank you to another listener, Special Delivery, as known in the forums, for a donation from her as well. Thank you very much. And also congratulations to her on the birth of her daughter a few months ago.
Congrats.
Yeah, well, there's little Sens fans popping up, not only here in Ottawa, but across the country. That's awesome.
Yes.
It's very good news. Week to come. Now, did you want to talk about anything about the Facebook page? Because
there's a Facebook page. I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay. I don't know anything about it. I've been into it a couple of times.
I'm trying to, well, now that you have the right password.
Yeah, I was trying to log into it today and suddenly my phone started flashing and Canucks, is someone trying to get into the Facebook page? Oh yeah, me. I've got the wrong password. Sorry. Mea maxima culpa on that one. The week to come, this coming Thursday, game 18 will be November 20th. The Predators are in town, yeah, I guess the Senators.
This might be a goose egg week.
Well, can't say. It's on TSN 5. The next four games are all TSN 5 and RDS 2.
No, yay!
No national broadcasts.
Yay, no offense to Sportsnet.
Yeah, but I really like the TSN broadcast better. Yes. Thank you very much. Game 19 is next Saturday, or this coming Saturday, sorry. The Blues are in town. The
afternoon game, and I think it's an RSU game.
Yeah, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday.
Ouch.
What a strange time.
3?
3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday.
It's one of the few, it's for kids. Because you only have two or three, and it's St. Louis isn't a big draw.
But it's not the Hockey Day in Canada game because this is not a national broadcast.
Nope.
On a Saturday, it's still a regional broadcast.
The rules changed.
Oh, did they? With the new contract?
Yeah.
I thought anything on a Saturday. Is it only Saturday evening that's national?
I think you get your pick.
Okay. Game 20 will be next Monday, November 24th. The Senators will be in Detroit, 7:30. Yeah. And next Tuesday, back-to-back, the Senators will be on to St. Louis for an 8 o'clock start against the Blues. Also, all these games are TSN and RDS, except for the one on Thursday, which is RDS 2.
Yes.
Wow.
Let's hope that Brian Elliott really pulls out what he normally does in this building.
Goose egg?
Ooh, no, Brian Elliott?
Pulls out?
No, so pulls does what he normally does.
Pulls here. Out of the net? Someone gives him the hook?
Just blows.
Okay. Anything else? I think we're done. This is going to be a very short episode because I got nothing left to talk
happened.
About. Yeah, nothing.
Do something!
We stretched that out so long.
Yeah, sorry if your commute's been longer than this episode. That's all we've got. So if you want the next episode to be longer, email us stuff to talk about.
Yeah. You can, and we might have another medium for you.
Well, we're working on
5 days in and out.
We're working on more contact methods, but you never know what we might come up with next. Smoke signals, carrier pigeons.
Who knows?
Who knows? Maybe I'll just get a telegraph. I'll have to learn Morse code though. You can email us at podcast@sendscollops.com. You can find us on Twitter. You can join the Facebook group. You can join the online forums at sendscollops.com, which are very handy, especially for away games and later at night away games on the West Coast when you're trying to stay awake. You can at least interact with people in the forums, because that was very helpful in the Calgary and Edmonton games.
Post every 5 minutes or so. Yeah. Man, I'm tired.
Yeah, well, I was all by myself.
United in bed was so great. I loved that.
That was a good one. That was a very, very good one.
Everyone reading it, they're like, what?
Really? Kind of podcast is this? Anyway, on behalf of Pan and Canuck, I'm Cardinal saying thanks much for listening. We'll be back next week. Good night.
Later.
Night, night.
They're just trying to find the one. Yeah, on fuck TV.
Uh-huh. Oh, I know that I'm the right one for Bret Michaels. I know I am.
Mm-hmm. He's had more women than you've had hot dinners, sweetheart.
This John Gomesh, he probably like a hot lunch, too. I hope you're recording.
I got it.